How would you like to discover the healthy lifestyle choices that can lead to optimum health? Graham Hawley will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Graham is he's a certified health and wellness coach, passionate about helping individuals achieve their optimal health and well-being through healthy lifestyle choices. And his goal is to empower individuals to take control of their health and transform their lives through personalized coaching. So Graham, tell us about what are the worst lifestyle choices people make that lead them to poor health?
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health changemakers to live your healthiest life ever.
Okay, well, that's a tough question because there's lots of choices. I think overall, what I call my program is about the five pillars of health. Because these five pillars of health don't operate independently. And when one is weakened, if one's weak or it's overlooked, then the others eventually pay the price. So, it's easier now than ever to develop lifestyle disease. Children and teenagers are getting diagnosed with lifestyle conditions. So this is, you know, it's very serious. I'm not sure how serious people are taking it. And it's not necessarily where you are now, it's where are you heading? Because these lifestyle diseases can take years, even decades, before they start to show any signs of, well, any symptoms. And you've been slowly doing damage to other vital organs. We're living in a very, very different time now. This last 35 years, lots of things have changed. Food has changed. The lack of movement has changed. There's more stress out there. So there's a lot of things going on. So these five pillars of health are nutrition, exercise and movement, sleep quality, stress management, and just being mindful about alcohol consumptions. So it's not a matter of just saying, well, okay, I'm working out, I'm getting my steps in, I'm going to the gym. You could well be doing that, and you could well be eating. Well, I'm going to say you could well be eating healthy, but here's what I found, is that most people seem to believe that they're eating healthy. But because of the misinformation and disinformation and deceptive packaging by food companies, people think they're eating healthy, fat-free, sugar-free, organic. You've got to really look at the ingredients label. And what I think's going on, certainly this last 30 years, of people have moved away from real food. A lot of people, majority of the intake of what they're drinking and eating is fast food, or it comes out of a box, tub, packet, carton, wrapper. Because it's all about instant gratification. We've slowly been indoctrinated into this instant gratification. And it's led people to just can't be bothered to cook meals anymore. So, yep, I forget what your question was, but it's more than just one thing what is leading to this metabolic dysfunction. I mean, just look at, let's just focus on children as young as 5 years of age, 6 and 7, 8, 9, 10. The reason they're developing lifestyle disease is because the parents are not aware of what they're feeding them. Pretty much end of story there. You can't go to the supermarket with your child and have them point at everything with a character on the front or the favorite something. You just can't eat what you want to eat these days. You've got to really understand that, certainly if you're a parent out there, you've got to start making meals for your children and not getting them out of a box, tub, packet, carton and wrapper. Because that is the fundamental cause, because of all the unhealthy ingredients. The human body is not designed for the influx of all these simple carbohydrates, white refined sugar, white refined flour, starches. Let's not forget the chemicals. Some of them are hazardous. So it stands to reason. I really think it stands to reason. So When it comes to nutrition, here's a great way to start is just become aware of some of the ingredients that which are used. Like I mentioned, refined sugar, refined flour, processed starches, high fructose corn syrup. And let's not forget all the industrial seed oils like corn, canola, rapeseed, soy, sunflower and safflower. A lot of people are cooking with those at home. They are man-made, factory-made machine oils, what were originally invented for lubricants, engine lubricants, and they've figured ways out how to bleach them and make them look good, and but they're damaging. I'm led to believe they're equally as damaging as sugar. And where do we find all these ingredients? In fast food, processed foods, and sugary drinks. Now, I'm not saying that you can't maybe swing by a fast food place now and again, but you really have to be conscious of how much real food are you putting in your body. And when I say real food, lean organic meats and chicken and wild caught fish and seafood and fruits and vegetables, beans and legumes and nuts and seeds and herbs and spices. You can make so many wonderful meals out of all that. And again, people don't seem to be doing that too much these days because they've made this fast food so cheap and so available. It's in your face. It's even when you're in the supermarket and you're paying for groceries, it's in your face. And like I said, the human body is not designed for the influx. And it's the fundamental cause. So you have got to start, try and make, I would just start with your first meal of the day, because I think most people know the first meal of the day is important, but what people don't understand is what you have for the first meal of the day. If you're getting up and you're having cereal and jam on toast and muffins and bagels, going to get you off to a bad start. They may be nice, because they're nice because they're full of sugar and they're simple carbohydrates. But how's about starting your day with a 3-egg omelette with some sautéed mushrooms and some spinach and some maybe red peppers or green peppers? 3-egg omelette, half an avocado. That'll get you off to a great day, especially if your kids, if you're sending your kids to school on this sugar rush, I guarantee you 2 hours later they're crashing and they're looking for that sugary snack. And it goes even deeper than that. It goes into blood sugar and insulin, because blood sugar and insulin, I'm going to say, is, if I've learned anything over the years, that blood sugar and insulin really are the master switch. And you want to be healthy, you need to be conscious of what you're doing to your blood sugar every time you eat or drink something.
Thank you. So what's a simple rule people can follow daily to avoid overcomplicating food choices? So the thing that shocked me as a Romanian coming and living in London for the last 20 years is that the very first time I started living with a family as an au pair, the thing that shocked me was seeing how someone who is relatively wealthy can open a can of beans or chili con carne and then just like make some rice and just pour it over. Because, for example, in my country, it's very common to have people cook a meal for like 3 hours. And of course, people in the UK do not have 3 hours to cook. So, of course, they're choosing the simple option. But what can someone cook that is nutritious and at the same time fast that will allow them to get the right nutrition for their body and be healthy and stay healthy and not put on weight and not look like a sugar bag, not
yeah,
have their
well,
entire
again,
body look like a fridge.
Well, I think again, it's just real food. Real look. What about making a 3-bean chili with some ground beef in there, 100% grass-fed ground beef in a 3-bean chili? That makes a good snack. It makes a good lunch. You can put it as a side dish with something. Another way I find is to prep, not necessarily prep meals, but in my fridge I always have a roasted vegetable dish, 24/7. It's usually got mushrooms, onions, red pepper, green pepper, fresh garlic, and broccoli sprouts. So let's say I'm thinking, I get home and I go, okay, it's dinner time. A tea time in England, as they call it, right? Then I say, okay, the first thing I say is, where is my quality protein coming from? So I'm going to go to lean organic meats, whether that be steak, pork, lamb, salmon, some type of fish. So let's hypothetically say I've got a steak in my fridge. I go throw a steak on the barbecue. I get my already roasted vegetable dish out and saute some of them in a frying pan. I always have I always have the ingredients to a Greek salad in my fridge too. So then all I got to do is chop a bit of kale up, couple of spoonfuls of the Greek salad I've already got prepared, and I've literally got steak, salad, and some vegetables, real food, no simple carbs, no sugar. And what's that taking me? Literally 10 minutes? It's getting prepared, and it's really just getting organized. And here's the thing. If you have to commit to being healthy, because it doesn't come naturally. You know, if you go back to even when I was a teenager in growing up in England in the mid 70s, there really weren't much out there but real food. Yeah, there was a chicken place on the corner, American company chicken place, and a fried chicken and another one. But there were just spotted around places. So it wasn't a thing you did breakfast, lunch and dinner. It was maybe once or twice a week you had that, if that actually, because every time you went to the supermarket, there pretty much was just real food there. It wasn't until about mid-80s, 85, supermarkets got bigger with all the processed food and the billboards, advertisements. I tell you what, it's a clever plan. It's a very clever plan of what they created. And it's a plan to make money, but there's no regards to human health. And I know it feels like I'm knocking these companies now, but if you don't educate yourself or you don't get educated in the 21st century, I'm going to say, I guarantee you, you're heading for metabolic dysfunction. Because it's easier now than ever, i.e., children and teenagers. These sugary drinks, sports drinks, energy drinks, people have no idea what it does to the blood sugar and insulin levels. Here's the thing. Anything you eat or anything you drink, apart from water or tea, but all these processed things, they're going to do something to your blood sugar. Now, the idea is, let's just say you had an energy drink on an empty stomach, and you weren't doing it before a sports event, playing, so you weren't going to burn that off. Your blood sugar will be spiking for hours. But if you drank some water with some sea salt in and a squeeze of lemon, won't do anything to your blood sugars. Your blood sugars would stay stable. Now, here's what happens when your blood sugars go. When your blood sugar and insulin spikes repeatedly, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, because you're drinking these drinks, sugary coffee drinks, you're snacking on this and you're snacking on three meals a day and snacking in between. Well, what happens is it's insulin's job to get the glucose out of the bloodstream like, as quick as it can. But when it's overloaded like that, well, then one, you're taxing your liver out, and then once your liver, glucose is stored in your liver cells and muscle cells, and once they're full, now insulin has a job. So what it does, it stores it as fat, because that's what insulin's known as, the fat storage hormone. You can't gain weight if you're producing too much insulin, and you can't lose weight if you're producing too much insulin. I have clients come to me who want to lose weight, and by reducing the blood sugar and insulin spikes by eating real food and slowly moving off the foods what have caused them to gain weight, that weight falls off them in no time. Not only does the weight fall off them, I've had clients within 6 to 8 weeks of going back to the doctors, because they always start at the doctors. A client with me, I make sure they go to the doctor, tell them they're making lifestyle changes, have the blood work done so they have a point of reference 3 months down the road, how that's improved too. That's a great indicator of where you're going, not where you are now. Where are you going? Look at your blood work, learn to read your blood work. And it's not too long before clients are going back and the doctors are not only reducing, but they're eliminating medications for high blood pressure and type 2 diabetes. There is no education out there how to be healthy. None. Not on TV. In fact, it's the opposite. It's the billboards are telling you to eat all this fast food and crappy food. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's on TV. I don't watch TV, but I'm led to adverts are just pushing all this food. Billboards around. You go in the supermarket. It's crazy. It's, you know, and I've developed a passion over the year to try and help people and educate people, mainly because I saw both my brother and my father become debilitated through other conditions, type 2 diabetes that caused them, and it was disturbing. I wondered if I was setting myself up for that horrendous disease. And then I quickly found out, wow, it's certainly ain't hereditary, maybe type 1, but not type 2. And it's obvious why people have type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure and skin issues and weight gain and dementia. They call dementia now type 3 diabetes. It's bizarre.
So how can someone who has always had poor eating habits turn that around into healthy habits? Because like, let's say if you're always used to having cereal that typically are very sugary. Mm. And yeah. Then how do you like turn that habit around? Because
that's a valid question. And I think this is where people make the mistake, is that they try and do everything at once. Maybe try to change the diet, move your body more, they reduce your stress and get better sleep. So I say this, do everything you're doing. Let's say you want to lose weight, maybe you've got high blood pressure, even type 2 diabetes. I would definitely go to your doctors, have your blood work done. But here's the thing. This is why I wrote this book. Small steps, big results. You have to take small steps. So if you're looking to make lifestyle changes, just do this for the next week or even two. The first meal of the day. Do not be having your cereal, your jam on toast, all those sugary. Your first meal of the day should be savory. Don't be afraid of having something you would have for dinner or even lunch for your first meal of the day. Again, we've been indoctrinated. It's got to be something sweet. You're not getting off to a good start. So again, just what about a 3-egg omelette? What about some raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, and some plain Greek yogurt? About avocado, don't be afraid to have a salad for your first lunch. I would say get some protein, healthy fat and fiber, and that 3-egg scramble with some vegetables and a half an avocado. You can throw some pickled beetroot on there, some pickled onions, pickled cucumber, and that will satiate you until lunchtime. You won't be looking for that snack 2 hours later. So as hard as it may be, just focus on that first meal of the day.
Thank you. Tell us what's wrong with having ready meals. Like, for example, I saw in the UK, there are a lot of people that eat ready meals. Like, for example, ready mashed potatoes or ready, I don't know, chili con carne or ready some other meals that are...
When you say ready, what do you mean by ready?
I mean, like, you know, the ones that are already in the supermarket, they're kind of prepared and all you have
to do... Yeah, well, again, I go again. Look. I'm not here to knock the food industry, but you don't know what's in it. You don't know what's in it. You know why I don't eat bread anymore?
Why?
Because it's sprayed in glyphosate, which is very damaging to the body. And bread is full of sugar now. I've seen bread with 7 grams of sugar in it. So let's hypothetically say, oh, I'm going to have a nice, healthy deli meat sandwich. Here you go. It's 14 grams of sugar in your bread. Unknowingly, and now you're putting this deli meat, which I would keep away from. It's full of nitrates, preservatives, and chemicals. That's how they make it. People don't understand how today's food is made. It's man-made. It's made by food scientists. One, to be addictive, and the other one is to have a long shelf life. And that's those type of ingredients don't belong in the human body. Again, there's a reason children are sick and teenagers. It's what they're drinking and what they're eating. I guarantee you, if you eat real food and you drink water, you hydrate with water, with some fruit in it or something like that, you won't be sick. You won't be overweight. You won't have skin issues. You won't need a nap in the afternoon. You won't be lacking energy. People are not eating real food anymore. I don't know what to say. I've seen this firsthand with clients. They come to me with overweight, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, even skin issues. And within, it's amazing, by taking these small weekly steps, within 8 weeks, you can go from surviving to being alive and thriving.
Thank you.
And that's what we want to do as we age. You have to think of the future. And again, it's not where you are now. What are you setting yourself up for?
Thank you. Tell us some examples of the types of food to stay away from. For example, like sausages and pastrami and...
Yeah, all of that. All of that. Just keep away from it. It's heavily processed. It's full of nitrites, nitrates, chemicals, preservatives. Again, they don't belong in the human body. Now, I'm not saying you can't have this now and again, but this is what people are living on. I'm going to say most things out of a box, tub, packet and can. It's not real food, period. No, there's no argument there. There's no food scientist who's going to argue. There's no doctor going to argue with that. It is not real food. It's man-made. And it seems to be full of ingredients, what seems to be making, right from children right up to the end of life, making people ill and sick. When you stop feeding the disease, it slowly goes away. One could say that's borderline common sense. When you stop feeding the disease, it slowly goes away. If you keep feeding the disease when you're on your medication, you will be on your medication for the rest of your life, slowly doing damage to other vital organs like it did my father and my brother, actually feeling okay until something happens, like a heart attack, a stroke, bleeding ulcers. My father became 5 years housebound, lost his mobility on 12 medications because he kept feeding the disease. Finally passed away riddled with gangrene. Is that how you want to end your life? I don't. It's not about living longer. It's about the quality of life while we're living is what we should be thinking about. Here's another question I put to people. What's the point of working so hard all your life, building a life, a family, a business, equity and wealth? Well, if you can't get out your chair to enjoy it.
Tell me about frying stuff. Like, for example, having like fried eggs, fried sausages, fried stuff.
Yeah, well, again, it's those seed oils I was talking about. You got to make sure that if you're cooking at home, is that you're not using these, seed oils like corn, canola, rapeseed, soy, safflower, sunflower. What you should be cooking in is grass-fed butter, avocado oil, beef tallow, ghee. That's it. Olive oil has got a very low smoke point, I think, of about 250. So you really don't want to cook in that, because if you're cooking over 250, it's going to turn into a trans fat. So olive oil is very healthy, but it mainly should be used for dressings or drizzles when something is cooked. Or you can make a salad dressing out of it. You can put some balsamic something in there. People are still cooking in that in those unhealthy oils and not aware of it because, again, there's only certain, it's all this information of how to be healthy is being covered up because they don't want you to know. I know that sounds very propaganda-ish, but they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know. They want you to keep buying the products.
Thank you. Are there any like magical superfoods that can be leveraged to counterattack the damage you might be doing with your body by eating fried food or by eating salami and pastrami and whatever. Like, I don't know, like, for example, if you eat a lot of like blueberries or a lot of other foods that are considered superfoods.
Well, yeah, they're all healthy, but there ain't one food out there is going to turn your life around. You know what's going to turn your life around? Real food. All your meals made of real food. If you need to snack in between a meal, snack on real food. Why can't you snack on some fruit, some blueberries, some dark chocolate? Why can't you snack on a handful of nuts? Why can't you snack on some avocado, on some healthy crackers? Look, there is some healthy products out there, but if you don't know what you're looking for, well, then you're not going to find them.
Thank you.
Real food. But Ed, again, it's just not the food. People, look, you can be eating as healthy as anybody on the planet, but if you're leading a sedentary life, not going to work for you.
So you have to
work on all the five pillars. You've got to slowly start making all your meals, whether it takes you 6 months to make all your meals from real food, you will see a massive difference. You'll have energy. You won't need naps in between mid-afternoon naps. You'll get all your vitamins, your minerals, your macronutrients. You'll get everything you need slowly, week by week. Start with your first meal, then start with your second meal, then start with your third. When you have your third meal, no eating before bed, 3 hours before bed. No alcohol 3 hours before bed. So that's nutrition. One of the best things you can do after any meal or after you've ate anything is move your body and walk. Because now energy, you're using energy and it's drawing the glucose out of your blood for energy. Therefore, you're producing less insulin and you're less of a blood sugar spike. That's really what it's all about. So eat healthy food and move after every meal. Everybody, most people go, oh, I'll go sit down, let my food digest. No, you need to get out for a walk, play with your kids, go clean your garage out, wash your car, move your body, do your laundry, fold some laundry. Worst thing you can do after a meal is go sit down and then be conscious of walking more. You know, you don't have to go to the extremes of going to the gym and pumping iron. Walk more. Let's say you go, maybe you go to work and you work in an office building, you work on the fourth floor. I don't see anybody walking stairs. So forget the elevator, walk the stairs. And when you come down at lunchtime, come down the stairs. And when you go back up. If you go to the supermarket, I used to do the same. I'm looking for the closest parking spot to the supermarket. Go straight to the far end of the supermarket. Do these things where you're just going to get more movement in. And once you start to get more movement in and it becomes a habit, then, well, once you start to see the benefits of eating healthy and moving your body more, I guarantee you, you want to keep going. You want to keep going. It's great being healthy. Everybody wants to be healthy, but you have to do something to be healthy. First, you have to commit to want to be healthy, and then you got to start educating yourself and see, what do I need to do with my nutrition? What do I need to do with my movement? And then you got to look at sleep quality, because that's probably might be the biggest overlooked pillar right there is sleep. So, real quickly, you have an evening routine and a morning routine. Evening routine, no food, no alcohol 3 hours before bed. 1 hour before bed, you turn the TV off. You shouldn't even have a TV in your bedroom. But you turn the TV off, you shut your laptop down, you put your phone away, dim the lights. You can read a book, listen to a podcast. You got to signal to your body that you're winding down. Then you start to produce melatonin. That's a fantastic way to wind down at the end of the day. Now, this is a big one for most people. They get out of bed on the morning, boom, and they're straight for the caffeine. And then they're scrolling on the phone or they're answering emails and they're When your body wakes up on a morning, it naturally releases the stress hormone, cortisol. That's normal. Your nervous system is a bit on edge because it doesn't know what's going on. It's been relaxed for 8 hours or so. All of a sudden, it's now, what's going on? So you have to signal to your body, everything's cool. And by getting up, drinking caffeine, going on your laptop, that's a bad start for the day. It's going to disrupt your blood sugars for the rest of the day, especially if you're putting cornflakes or some cereal down at the same time. So the best way to start your day is to hydrate. You've had no hydration for at least 8-10 hours. Drink some water, put some Celtic sea salt, a squeeze of lemon, and do that for the first 45 minutes. Just drink some water, hydrate. And then the next one is just move your body. You got to just get your blood pumping a little. It's been just all night long, it's just been doing this. Now you need to get it moving around. So you can swing your arms. You don't need to do anything extreme. Do some push-ups off the counter, off the wall. Even better, step outside and get some sunlight, or even if it's not sunny, just natural light in your eyes. Because by doing that, on an evening and doing that on a morning, you're what's called setting your circadian rhythm. And that's healthy. That will give you a good night's sleep. You'll have more deep sleep, more REM sleep by keeping awake, by doing that evening routine and doing that morning routine. Then it comes down to stress. Stress is a big one. It's very stressful out there now. Everyone seems to be stressed out over something. You turn the news on, you get stressed out. I don't watch the news anymore because I can't help anybody, can't do anything about it. So when it comes to stress, it's a little different because you might get that through work, family, friends, but you have to maybe set more boundaries with people. And if there's certain stressful situations and people that you can actually walk away from them. Don't have to have people in your life just because you've had them in your life for X amount. It's like these people who stay in unhealthy relationships. I don't know why. Because it causes stress, cortisol. It's not good for your health. Now, I'm not telling everybody to walk out the relationship, but and it's the same with, I know so many people in corporate America, they get overloaded with work, they're all stressed out. You've got to advocate for yourself. Go talk to your boss. Too much work. Can't do it. You didn't hire me for that. You're just throwing all this work on me. People are scared of getting let go or fired. That's another reason why people soak all this stress. Oh, I get fired. I better not say that. You know, and I don't have the answers to everything. I'm just telling you things I've done over the years to reduce my stress, to get quality sleep, to move my body more, and to eat healthy. And then that last one is, you know, for me, it was a bottle of wine a night. Now I have about a bottle of wine a month. I don't want it anymore. I don't crave it anymore. It's not good for you. So if you're at home drinking like I used to do, that's habitual. Now mine's intentional. If I go meet a friend for happy hour, I go out with some mates for dinner, hey, I'll have a glass of wine. That's it. I can do that now. So you got to work on these five pillars, and you're not going to work on them over a month, over 2 months. Doesn't matter if you take your 6 months to work on those pillars. I guarantee you, your life will improve. Your overall health will improve. And if you're on medication, your doctor will be reducing or getting you off that medication. Not brain surgery, it'll be healthy. You just need some help. You need education. There is none out there. Look, let's be honest. When you go to your doctor, does he sit you down and tell you reverse your type 2 diabetes or your high blood pressure? No. Prescribes pills to reduce the symptoms and sends you on your way. That's just how it is these days. It's the same in England. It's the same in England. It's the same in the US. And that's just the system. It's not the doctor's fault. It's the system. So if you understand how the system works, then you'll understand that you need to take care of yourself. We are responsible for our health, not your mother, your father, unless you're a child, not your doctor, not your partner. Individually, you've got to go deep in and say, What do I want my health to be like in 10, 15, 20 plus years from now? Do I want to be alive and thriving? Or surviving, struggling to get out of a chair, struggling to get up and downstairs when you're in your 60s, 70s and 80s? No way to end your life. Again, it's not about living longer. It's about the quality of life while we're living.
Thank you. How can someone reset their nervous system in under 5 minutes to reduce stress?
I say, breathe through your nose. Sit down and just breathe through your nose. Close your eyes. Not really meditating, but breathe. And even, believe it or not, just going for a walk. Just step outside. Say you're stressed out at work in an office or something. Just take a 10-minute break and go walk outside. Just seeing all that is going to calm your nervous system down. You're not in an office where you've just had all this, you know, conflict or whatever that is causing you stress. Just get outside and then breathe while you're walking. Close your mouth, breathe through your nose, get oxygen, you're creating nitric oxide. Your blood vessels are doing this and it'll just calm you down.
Thank you. For someone who is not used to being sporty, how can they start becoming sporty? Because, for example, I come from a family where my mom was an athlete when she was young, and then she was later working as an engineer in a forest and walking a lot, and she maintained the kind of like athletic kind of habits, so she would like drag me everywhere. So I mean, I swim almost every day, like 1 hour. I can walk 10 kilometers. I can do 100 sit-ups and 100 squats, but I don't normally do those two, but I can easily do, because, for example, in my country, it's quite common to pass an exam for sports. You have to pass an exam that involves doing sit-ups and squats. So it's like you have you have to do it in a certain time frame that's very, very limited. And if you don't, then you get like a considerable reduction in your marks. So you have to do it fast, you know, like you have to a mini sprint in, I can't remember if it was like 8 seconds, and I can't remember what the time frame was, but basically every little tiny second counts for a reduction of your mark. So you have to be like really, really fast. But that's not like common. Like, I don't know anyone that is like me. Like, even I walk really, really fast, and most people cannot cope with like even walking.
I'm a fast walker too, for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm excessively fast as a walker.
Yeah.
But I don't know any single person that has the kind of energy that I have. And even though you can say like I have suffered from like sore throat and cough and migraine for a really long time, for the last, I would say, 7 years. But even so, I still have this kind of energy. And I don't know anyone that's like that. And how does someone build to that kind of like super high energy so they can feel like, for example, I don't have to have a car, and I don't feel like I would ever even benefit from having a car. Whereas for most people, it's like, yeah, of course you have a car. And once you have a car, it's like you forget to walk.
Right. No, and you're absolutely right. Yeah. This is how we've been thrown into this so-called comfort. No, I say this, if you feel you're living like a sedentary life and you're not playing any sports, first of all, I'm impressed you're doing all that swimming every day. That's very impressive. Start by what I mentioned earlier, walking more. Get a smartwatch. You can get them cheap enough just to track your steps. Or get a pedometer on your phone and just log down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Or you can see what's your average steps weekly. Let's say it's 5,000. So the next week, say, okay, I'm going to step it up. Well, how do I step it up? You take the elevators when you go to a building. You park further away when you go to the supermarket. If you can walk to your supermarket, if it's close enough, you can walk to a... Just be conscious about walking more. If you work in an office, say you work in an office and you have a meeting, an half-hour meeting with somebody, and you don't need to be sat at a computer, go for a walk meeting. If you're on the phone in your office, you don't need to be sat don't need to be sat half an hour talking to somebody. You can just walk around your office. Just walk and talk. Just come up with more ways to walk. And then I say, there's so many exercise equipment that you can order and do at home. Again, just resistant bands, some light weights. Just start off, look, just start off slow. Don't overwhelm yourself. Don't go join a gym and tell yourself, oh, I'm going to go there six days a week. I'm going to go. That's too much. If you're not used to that, do some things at home. Even if you work at a desk, you can get a standing desk. That's going to be beneficial. I think you can get like a treadmill desk now or something. Just be conscious of walking more. And then maybe find one of your friends or co-workers who might want to go on a hike over the weekend. Get into nature. Everybody lives close enough to, even if you're just walking around your park, your local park, just get out there, walk more. Because what it does for your overall energy, you'll see, it's amazing. The human body is designed to move. It's not designed to be sat down 8 hours a day. It's just not designed for that. You're going to slowly, as the years and decades go by, if you lead in a sedentary life, it will catch up with you.
Thank you. How does someone remove alcohol from their lifestyle if, for example, my ex used to be, I mean, he was from Ireland, and he used to
drink. Oh, he was a big drinker then.
He was drinking 20 beers a day. Like, and then, I mean, when we were just us at home, he would drink at least one bottle of wine by himself.
Yeah, same with me. Yeah.
And what I find quite interesting is that when you have a group of friends, and let's say they would go out with, like, say, 20 friends or whatever, then it would be like, okay, round one, and then you're paying for everybody and this kind of thing. It's like, I'm thinking, oh my God, if I'm going out, I can tell you, I cannot drink more than two bottles of water. Like, I cannot even think of how someone could drink 20 beers, but yeah, he can't.
I know. Well, yeah. So,
like, how does someone who has an environment and a network of friends where it's kind of common to be like, okay, doing the rounds and this kind of thing, because you cannot kind of come out of that without looking like a stingy person.
Yeah, no, I know. It's tough. And I've been through that. I was born and raised in England. I was getting in pubs at late 15, and I come from a drinking nation. That's what you did. I was an apprentice carpenter at 16, and when you finish work, in fact, on a lunchtime, you would go to the pub and drink. I mean, you'd go back and you'd be playing with tools. It was just the norm. After work, pubs were full. So it's the same with your ex there, because he's Irish. He comes from a drinking nation. That's how we grew up. So I can only say what I did. First of all, let me just quickly let your listeners know, excess alcohol, not only does it disrupt sleep and recovery, it affects all your hormones, your blood sugar and insulin, it increases inflammation, and over time it can slow your metabolism down. It'll increase fatigue. It'll contribute to issues like alcohol, fatty liver, especially if you're drinking that much, weight gain, distended belly, high blood pressure, cardiovascular and heart disease. And the list goes on. So for me, once I understood a little bit what I've just said there, I'm like, okay, well, I've gone this far with all my studying and I'm improving my nutrition. I mean, I've been playing soccer three times a week for years, so I've got that exercise type of thing. But even on the days I don't play now, I make sure I get at least 10,000 steps in. And on the days I don't play, I go to the gym and I just do some basic strength training. Nothing to get all jacked up. Just remember what I said earlier, glucose is stored in your muscle cells. And it's quite common for people to get older, not developing or not maintaining muscle. They've no storage tanks for the glucose, lead to pre-diabetes and then diabetes, even if you're eating healthy. So for me, it was, okay, I'm drinking a bottle of wine a night. What do I do? There's two ways to go. You cut cold turkey or you gradually reduce that amount. I couldn't do the cold turkey. So what I started to do was drink three quarters of a bottle of wine a night. I did that for a month. And then I dropped it down to half a bottle for the following month. And then I started to understand, one, what it was doing for me energy the next morning and how I was getting better sleep, which then propelled me to want to keep on going. Because like I mentioned, it creates inflammation, it slows your metabolism, increases fatigue, does so much damage. It's just because it's on sale and it's legal. Again, it's one of those things, it's not healthy for you. Whatever way you want to look at alcohol, it's ethanol. And ethanol in its purest form is poison. So alcohol is a form of poison. And that's why people suffer when they're drinking day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, decade in, decade out. Always got distended bellies, round faces, the metabolism's all a mess, and they're heading for metabolic disaster. So for me, it was reduce, 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 where now I don't crave it, I don't need it. I've got wine upstairs. I don't drink at home, but if I've got there, if a friend comes round and he fancies a glass of wine, I'll open a bottle of wine. And then if he has a glass, I'll give him the bottle of wine to take home. So again, if you've got a real problem, you need to go get some professional help. You need to get into some program where you can have doing any of this is find an accountability partner, whether it be a friend, a family member, a co-worker, to go on this lifestyle journey with you. Say, okay, mate, where are you with your meals and stuff? What are you doing? You can check in every day. Yeah, how did you do today? Oh, I did great. I made two meals and I swung by Burger King at lunchtime because I didn't take anything out with me. Oh, where are you having that? That's great, mate. You can spur each other on. You can get your information and share your information. Hey, I've just found if you do this and you do that, it's just great to have a partner to move along with, I think.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs and people who want to have better lifestyle choices can find you and connect with you.
Yeah, I'll make it real simple. Go to my website, simplyhealthconscious.com. Simplyhealthconscious.com. There you will find, I've got a QR code. You can scan that. It'll take you to the vitamins and minerals and some meal recipes and some meal ideas. You can also get a link to Amazon to get my book and paperback or on digital. My social media links are on there. You can follow me if you'd like to talk to, if you'd like to connect with me one-on-one, my email's there. Everything's there.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.